In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We're gathered on this first morning of winter, apparently, this morning. And greeted with the snow this morning, coming to the Lord's Day liturgy. We hear two beautiful, beautiful readings today. One that was read by Benjamin from St. Paul. The beautiful words of St. Paul, which all Orthodox Christians should read often. The Holy Father said we should read the Gospel every day, of course, but also reading the epistles of St. Paul and St. John, their epistles of teaching and love, really, they can change our lives. We often think that the saints don't understand our lives, that the saints are so beyond us, but when you read, especially St. Paul, you see how much he suffered. He talks about how, in his reading today, he persecuted the church. He wasn't a good Christian. In fact, he persecuted the worst, and yet, when someone is seeking God, God will always find him. And we know the story of St. Paul, his incredible repentance, and how he went on to be an incredible apostle and didn't take it for granted when the Lord revealed himself. To note how Orthodox Christians accept revelation, why we struggle with the revelation of Joseph Smith, for instance, for all the beauty and the kindness of LDS people, the theology for us being so wild and crazy, we would never base a religion off of the religion, revelation of one man. And certainly not a revelation that would undermine everything that had been given by that holy tradition. We check everything. St. Paul checked that revelation by not going out and talking for years in the desert, Saudi Arabia, and then coming back and humbling himself, as we know in the book of Acts, to St. Peter and to the other apostles, to check himself that his revelation of the Lord God Jesus Christ was the same Jesus Christ that had been given to the church since the beginning, the faith once given for all to the saints. And of course it was, and he became an incredible saint, the apostle of apostles, he who was the worst persecutor. It should give us a lot of hope. In today's gospel reading, well known, when our Lord cast out the demons from this man who was struggling so much. The Holy Fathers, you read St. John Chrysostom, St. Nikolai Vilimirovich, they have like tomes about all the fathers, about patristic commentary about this, but I will just share one thing that I think is relevant to our times. We live in a world that doesn't believe in God very much anymore, and part of not believing in God is we don't believe in the reality of demons. We don't believe that the devil exists. You know, the greatest lie, the greatest trick of the devil is to convince people he doesn't exist. And of course, a good proof, the saints say, is look at yourself. St. Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, I do those things. Most people want to be good people, brothers and sisters. Most people don't wake up and go, let me be a horrible sinner today. Some do. There are sick people out there. But generally speaking, most people want goodness and holiness. They just don't know how to get it. And they try as they might, they loathe themselves. They hate themselves. They see the sin and they think it's impossible. Where does that come from? Why does it good people do bad things? Yeah, we have inner sin, number of things, but the demons. That's what the Lord tells us, how fasting is so important. Fasting and prayer drives out demons. And we often think, well, that's not my problem. I just need to be less lazy or more kind. It's all of our problems. The saints say all of our flaws, all of our sins, with this laziness, sloth, lack of love, hatred, gluttony, lust, all the things that affect people most, there are the demons that attack us, right? With things in the world, we see TV, everything else, but there are evil spirits which want to darken our intentions. It says in the baptism service that instill rebelliousness of thought and darkening of intentions. Try as we might put an evil image in our head. I had a monk of Mount Athos tell me to prove this. He said, I came to Mount Athos when I was 11 years old. 11. And he's a monk, he's a priest, and he says, when I start to do the liturgy, I open my hands up sometime to say the Heavenly King prayer, and one time he had a flash of an inappropriate vision of a naked person. And he was shocked, because you know what? He's never seen a naked person in his whole life. He went to 11 years old, I've never seen an inappropriate vision of a woman, never. So where did it come from? It came from the evil one. And so what did he do? He didn't have to panic, oh, freak out. He said, get out of here, devil. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. He swatted the mosquito away, and he served the Holy Liturgy, and the demon was thwarted. Now, you can be sure that most of us aren't that pure, and that's the reason why it's there. Let's be clear, first of all. The Father said, we do kind of soil ourselves, what we listen to, what we watch. We should be very, very careful. But we should know without a doubt that there's an attack. When a person is baptized, we say the newly enlisted warrior of Christ. There's a battle for good and a battle against evil. And it's one way or the other. The ancient Christians knew either it's a battle for love and for eternity, or it's the life and the devil. There's no in between, the holy saints tell us. But our world doesn't like this analogy. Come on, let's not be warriors. Can we all just get along? The world loves to reduce the battle and make us think, oh, there's just kind of bad mojo, bad feelings. There's not actually the devil. There is. Ponyaru, the evil one, we say in English even better. It is a personal attack on each one of us. Now, the devil attacks the whole world, but he especially attacks Christians. One priest told me when I was getting baptized, he said, expect more temptation. I said, more? Why? I'm trying to live a better life. More? He's like, yes, because before your baptism, when you were just messing around and being selfish and self-focused, the demons were like soldiers. They were the guys in the back smoking a cigarette, putting their arms up, not at attention. Why? Because you were no threat. But when you decide to get baptized, or if you're baptized as a child, you decide to get serious about repentance and loving Christ, and you start to pray, and you start to ask forgiveness, and you start to go to confession, and to receive Holy Communion, and to live a Christian life seriously, they throw the cigarette down, and they take up their arms, and you have a bullseye on your back now. But, and you might go, oh gosh, who wants that? But you have Christ. You have the God-man Christ. He's all-powerful. The demons have no power unless we give them power. And before our life in Christ, or if we're not attentive to our Christian life, we give the demons power all the time. That's why our sins are so deadly. You might think, what's the big deal if we eat too much? What's the big deal if we're gluttons? Right? That leads to other sin. The Father said, gluttony leads to lust. What's the big deal about lust? What's the big deal about a bad thought or not looking careful with their eyes? And then your marriage is over because of adultery. Or because, what's the big deal about stealing a little pen from work? Or just stealing a little bit of paper? And then you steal more and more, and you go to jail. What's the big deal about eating a hamburger on Fridays? Does God care what we eat? God does not care what you eat. God doesn't affect Him. So why fast, Father? On a Friday, you want a hamburger, and you go buy, the Crown Burger here, and it smells good, and you say, does God want you to be miserable? No, God wants us to be joyful. But a spiritual joy like this. So you say no to that burger. And that muscle you have, the muscle of self-denial, it gets stronger. It gets stronger. So if you can say no in little things like, no, I'm not going to have a salad, no burger today. Or no, I'm not. Then when big temptations come, like, no, I'm not going to look at that inappropriate thing. No, I'm not going to open my mouth and say that. No, I'm not going to take that or do that. This muscle of self-denial is strong and saves you from a huge fall. Or the opposite, which is quite detrimental. Because we think, it's no big deal, it's no big deal. A big deal comes, that muscle is weak, and terrible falls can happen to us. And the Lord, because He wants us to have true joy, we sacrifice the joy of a burger for the sake of joy of self-control and avoiding sin. That's much greater joy. So whether we admit it or not, brothers and sisters, we all have demons. We all have struggles, and we all have different ones. All of us struggle with one thing more than another, and yes, it's our own sin, but the demons know what we struggle with. But we know in the church, everything can be cast out. And one of the fathers says, this reading today sums up the Christian life. What does he mean? The Lord comes to this man, he's full of demons. But the second the Lord comes, the demons aren't like, hey, you have no power here. No. The demons say, what are you doing before the time? They are quivering before the power of Jesus Christ. There's no yin-yang in the spiritual life, brothers and sisters. There's no, good and evil, which is going to win? It's already been won. It's over. Jesus Christ destroyed death on the resurrection of Christ. Death has no power, and the demons have no power, unless we give it to them. If we don't embrace the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we give the demons power. But if we do embrace the resurrection of Jesus Christ, nothing can harm us. Nothing. They can put you like the saints in the prison camp. They can put you anywhere. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. They can martyr you. Nothing can. I will go be with Him forever. Christians were invincible. And they still are in the Christian life. If we put on the resurrection of Christ to a life of love. But all too often, myself, we become worldly. We get down our eyes down the world. And we start being succumbed to the demons of the world. We need to read the reading today and wake up and say, they have no power. People often go, Father, I want to change, but I just can't stop doing that. That is not true. That's an excuse. By the power of the resurrection of the God-man, he who is God and man, Jesus Christ, there's nothing that can't change. Look at all these, St. Paul today, he was the worst. They were afraid of him. When he came to get baptized by Ananias, Ananias was afraid, it's a trick. This guy killed us, you know, I'm going to baptize him? God can change any human heart. I wouldn't be here if God can't change. None of us would be here. God wants everyone to come to him. And how terrible when we think, oh, that person can't change. God forgive us for thinking that person can never be a Christian. That person never be a saint. God help us. And God help us also think that with ourselves. And think, ah, I'm never going to change. I'm always going to be this way. That's not the love of Christ that changed the whole world and brought millions and millions and took over the whole world for Christ. No. They said, yes, I am a loser. I am the first loser among you. I'm the most sinful. But Christ came because he loves sinners. He created the church. It's a hospital, and it can heal everything and drive out the demons. So I'm going to pick up my cross. I'm going to walk forward at first baptized. Like our new catechumens today, Michael and Livy and all those getting ready. The first step towards driving the demons out is baptized. If you're not baptized Orthodox, forgive me, you should be. Because it will drive out all the demons in your life, and it brings you into a kingdom, into a hospital, where all the demons, by prayer and by fasting and by a life of love above all, and a life of humility and repentance, by the God-man Jesus Christ, every demon can be cast out. Peace can return to the most tortured soul. It's the most beautiful, breathtakingly beautiful thing in this whole world and the next, and the world needs to see it in each of us. The Lord comes. They tremble. The demons tremble. Don't send us away. Send us into the herd of swine. They have no power. We give power to the demons. They have none on their own. But think about it. It tells you how bad they are. Enough demons could be in one person, brothers and sisters, that could ravage an entire flock of pigs, and they would go so mad, they would go in the water and drown themselves. Don't judge struggling people. Let me repeat that. Don't judge anybody other than yourself, but especially struggling people. That person's so mean, that person's so this, then that, and the other. We have no idea what's going on in the heart of a person. If a demon can be, if a legion of demons can fill a person, or let's be honest, how a legion of demons fill us. And we do stupid things. We want God to forgive us. We want our spouse to forgive us. We want our friends, our enemies to forgive us. Then we have to offer that to other people. Elder Pombo the Desert says, be kind. Everyone is fighting a terrible battle. But we're only thinking about who most of the time? Ourselves. And our own little dialogue. And we just bite people's heads off and we judge them. And if we just had the sense of, why did the Christians take over the world? Because they had the radiant love of Jesus Christ and they could forgive. St. Silwana Maha says, a man that can forgive his enemies is the height of Christian love. And that's what takes over the world. To feel like the whole world judges you. St. Paisios, it was said, I think I told you the story of the monk. Everyone hated this drunk monk of Mount Athos. Everybody hated him. Everybody. And they asked him in the TV station, he said, is there any holy people here? He goes, maybe one guy. Who? Paisios. They were shocked. This drunk monk who everyone hates. He says, I don't know if he's holy. I don't know if he prays and stuff. I'll tell you one thing. Everybody hates me here in this holy mountain. I'm lazy. I get drunk. I get arrested by the Athos police at the time. Life is hard everywhere. Mount Athos isn't just like walking on air, brothers and sisters. There's sinners there too. My many visits there. And he said, but one monk always treats me with love. When I go to St. Father Paisios, he always bows and kisses my hand. He always, when visitors come and I'm working, I work for him and he pays me, and you would think that I was that he was working for me. He treats me with such love and kindness. When a visitor comes, he makes them come and kiss my hand. They have a tradition. Kiss my hand. Take Father's blessing. Such a good monk. And he says, he's the only person that treats me with love and kindness. St. Paisios was a great saint. He worked miracles. He healed cancer. But he had love when no one else would love a person. Now, could he see the sins? Of course he could. Anybody can see sins. Seeing sins is easy. Any idiot can see sins. An old priest told me that. But a Christian always finds the way in which another person is better than you. It's hard to judge a person that's better than you. You find that way that they're better than you, and you avoid all the rest of the judgment. And this is the love of Christ. And we've all had that feeling. Like when you go to confession, like, oh, and the priest loves you, and you don't feel judged, and you feel, this is a little taste of the love of Christ. Nothing in the world is like it. The world's exacting, and the world is mean, and there's, if you do this, there's an answer, there's a punishment. In the whole world, the love of Christ is the only answer, the only breath, the only freedom from such a terrible way of living. And that's why Christians who are weak, illiterate fishermen could take over the whole world, because this love can conquer any human heart. Demons are in us, brothers and sisters. They're in other people too. The Lord drove them out, and this man was totally healed. If God can drive out all these demons, He can heal you of your lust, of your lack of love, of your laziness. You can change. My friends in the monastery, in college, he was the laziest, chubbiest, most gluttonous. We'd sit at the restaurant, he'd say to the waitress, "What's the biggest thing on the menu?" I mean, it was unbelievable. We'd sing karaoke, he was the most swooning, kind of charismatic guy. And then, I hadn't seen him for years, and I go to the monastery, and I can't find him, because I don't recognize him. He's the skinniest guy there. And the abbot said, "Oh, your friend?" He says, "He's the first to any task. He's always so obedient." And I was like, wait. We're talking about the same guy here? And I saw him and I wept, because totally different. Same joy, same laugh that I always loved, but his heart had changed. And it shows that Christ can, and that's all of us, had that experience with many of you here in my own life, that in spite of our stupidity, in spite of our struggles, God can heal you in the hospital. Often, we don't see it often. The Lord guards us from pride, but I see it in so many of you. When you came for the first time and struggling with your sins, and you might still struggle, but you're being healed and you don't even notice it. And you have more love and you have more kindness and you have more faith. It's the greatest thing in the world. But we often sell ourselves short and think, "God can't heal me." He can and He is. And all these saints show us what the top of the floor hospital looks like before you go to heaven. You can be healed. This man was healed in the gospel. What was everyone's response, by the way, there? "Thank God, the Messiah is here. Please heal me too." No. Very scary, their response. "Get out of here." They were afraid. They didn't say, "Please heal me." No. Their money, their job went down the tubes. They're more concerned, St. John Chrysostom says, about their loss of investment, of their livelihood, than the living God working a miracle for that man. That should accuse us too. Maybe we're afraid of being healed because there might be a cost. Maybe you might have to become less worldly. Maybe you have to change things in your life, your job, to become more focused on Christ. And because you're worldly and afraid of giving that up, you're letting demons remain. Don't. Whatever the chips fall, let them fall. If you're a little bit poor, a little bit less liked, whatever it is, if you totally give yourself to Christ, He'll drive out all the demons. And you can be a person of love, a person of repentance. Still very sinful, of course, but the Lord constantly healing us in the hospital of His church. And the last part is so beautiful. They asked Him to leave, so Jesus leaves. Notice, Jesus didn't say, "No, I'm not leaving. I'm staying right here. I want to save you." The Lord will, if we call Him, He comes. If we push Him away, He goes. He respects our freedom. Such a divine quality. Freedom is a beautiful and terrible thing. If you call God, He will come. Knock, He will open. If you lock the door, He will keep it locked, because He respects your freedom. They say, "Go." He goes, sadly. But the one man chases after Him. The man He healed. "Let me go with you, please." And He says, "No. Go and tell everyone the wonderful things that God has done for you." And He went, and he's an example of the Christian life for all of us. He was full of demons. So are we. So am I. Right? We're all proud and judgmental and critical and worldly and afraid and all these kind of things, and coronavirus and distracted. But it can't stay that way. These saints didn't take over the world because they stayed in that place. They were aware. How did they become aware? By the church, by meeting saints, by meeting Christians like you, seeing people in a world of fear who are not afraid, who are joyful, who have love, who don't judge them, who see the good in them deep down, who have kindness and joy, and they see where other people don't see. They're not afraid of dying, they're not afraid of coronavirus, they're only afraid of not having love. When this happens, and the demons are driven out, it really is, a man is reborn in Christ. Our lives should be different, brothers and sisters. We should act differently, walk differently, think. Why? Because we don't eat and drink like people that are dying. We eat and drink as those who are preparing for eternal life. Right? We should be full of joy when the Lord drives the demons out. And what did that man do? He was, by the way, the man in the gospel. He was full of joy. His life was so different. what do I do now? Many of us ask, I'm baptized, Father, or I just went to confession and I want to start, and they get excited and then they tank again. They become worldly again. Don't stop. Go and proclaim everything that God has done for you. Not going door to door and being annoying and all. No. By living a holy life. Leave this church today, not with like, hey, be Orthodox, hey, be Orthodox. No, that's annoying. By having love. Deciding you're going to stop loving yourself so much, and you're going to love Christ, and you're going to love other people. You're going to go to church as much as you can. You're going to pray as much as you can. You're going to love your kids and your wife, your husband, way more than yourself. You're going to dedicate yourself to every homeless person you see. Every person you see, you're going to radiate the love of Christ in a humble, simple way. And they're going to think, wow, I feel loved. Wow, I want whatever that person has. When I've met holy people on the whole world, we have our iconographer here with us from Serbia who came in the other day with us today. We were talking about the monasteries and whether I've been in Serbia or in Greece or Manatos, same fragrance of every holy person is you feel so loved. You don't feel judged. You feel like they see it plenty clear, but they go deeper and they see the image of God in you. That's beautiful and unspoiled by the world. May we emulate Christ. May we emulate holy people, in so doing become holy ourselves by finding the goodness and the holiness in every person. Seeing them as above ourselves. Run to the church, the hospital of Christ. Ask Christ to drive out our demons so we can leave here today in repentance and in joy to go and tell the whole world the beautiful things that Christ in His church has done for us and that He can do for them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.